In the name of our Lord Jesus, amen. Well, we are back. We went to the Philippines. Is the schedule. We had wonderful times there. The Lord was with us. And we were blessed as we met brethren of like faith, and we enjoyed the meetings we had and times of fellowship. Though the devil was not idle, he was fighting on his side, but nevertheless the Bible tells us that we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. So I just thank God that we are back again to worship God. I just want to share with you a thought that God is life, and He's alive, and He is worshipped in life and by living people. So we just want to read from the book of Mark. We want to read chapter 12 of the book of Mark. Verse 26 to 27. And as touching the dead, that they rise, have ye not read in the book of Moses, how in the bush God spake unto him, saying, I am the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. Ye therefore do greatly err. So we pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we have read your word, Lord. Now it falls my Lord, Father, to speak to these your people. I pray, Father God, that you sanctify these feeble lips, Lord. May you open our hearts, Lord, and our spirit, that, Lord, we may see the purpose of your word. Is Father, we see the day of your coming closing in, and we just desire to be ready for that day. So as we are assembled in this room tonight waiting for the coming of the Lord, I pray, Father, that you do or say something, Lord, that will encourage our faith, that we may be lifted a little higher, that we may be perfected in our faith, that we may be ready for that great day. We commit ourselves, Lord, into your hands. Help us tonight. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen. 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 Now, I just want to speak to you on the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now, we see through the scripture that God always refers himself to these three: the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Right. Now, we see also that whenever God would tell his name or reveal his name, he does it when there is an act or there is a revelation of his power. That's when, you know, God gets a name. Like when Jesus was to come, the prophet said, when he comes, he'll be Emmanuel, which means God with us. So his name, or the name, is derived from what he is at that time. He is God among us. So he's Emmanuel. And also the Lord Jesus said, I come in my Father's name. And his name was Jesus, which is Jehovah Savior. That's what he was to the nation. He was Jehovah Savior. On the mount that day, Abraham said, Jehovah Jireh. He also revealed himself to Abraham and said, I am El Shaddai. I am the Blessed One. When Abraham needed that strength to have the word of God fulfilled in himself. So you see, God reveals himself whenever a name is mentioned about God, is about in connection with a work that he is to do. But when it comes to these three, he always says, I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But we know there were other great men who came after these three. There was Solomon, a great man. There was David, a great man. There were all the prophets like Moses. But God never said, I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Moses. He kept to these three. I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now, here, the Lord Jesus also says, as concerning the dead that they rise, don't you read in the scripture where he said, God, when he talked to Moses, said, I'm the God of Abraham, the God of Jacob, Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but he is God of the living. Now, it shows that God is living. God is a living God, and he is not a God of the dead. For he himself is life, and life and death cannot associate. Now, in the first book of John, or the first letter of John, chapter 1. This one says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and shew unto you that eternal life which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. Now here John is telling us of that which was in the beginning. It says there was the word of life. So he says that which was in the beginning is what we saw with our ears, with our eyes, we heard with our ears, we handled with our hands, and that was the word of life. So it was the manifestation of this God who is life. So when John is talking of the message he heard and he is preaching, which was from the beginning, he says it is the message of the word which was in the beginning and his life. Right. And this life was manifested. So this God who is life, he is not only life, but he manifests that life. Right. He shows forth, or that life comes out from him for a purpose. As the book of John, the book according the gospel according to John, if we can read that again, chapter 1. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Now, John is telling us that in the beginning was the Word, and that Word was with God, and that Word was God. And that Word had life. And that life was the light of man. And now, when that light went forth to shine, darkness could not overcome it. So that means when light came out to shine, it did not make friends with darkness. It did not compromise with darkness. But darkness had to go. Right. Why
the darkness have to go? Because this light was coming from life. And this life is the manifestation of this great God, whom Jesus says he is not the God of the dead, but of the living. So whenever he manifests himself, his light shines forth. It's not for the dead, but it's for the living. So those who can handle, those who can perceive, those who can see the manifestation, you have got to have the very life which is in that word, that they may understand and comprehend that light which is shining into their lives. Now this God, he is the God of the living. Now he says, I am the God of Abraham. He is not the God of the dead, but of the living. That means, you know, the Bible tells us, you know, who God is. We know God is a creator. David talks of the great universe. He talks of the sun and the stars. He talks of the great and mighty sea. All the things that God has created. He talks of the mystery or the wonderful way that the human body was formed. He talks of all these great things, showing forth who God is. And there are volumes and volumes of books which try to explain or to show forth who God is. The great creator. We think of the sea. We think of the mountains. We think of this vast universe. All these things they proclaim and they tell us that there is God. Yet God will say he doesn't identify himself with the mighty sun or with the great universe. He says, I am the God of Abraham. He identifies himself with Abraham. That means Abraham, in him were things or qualities that would bring out who God is. That would explain or reveal the power, the life, the holiness, the greatness, and all that God is must have been revealed or shown forth in the life of Abraham, until God had to say, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now, let's just look at this. Who is this Abraham? We know Abraham was an ordinary man who was living in the land of the Chaldeans, in the city of Ur. He was a nobody there. He was worshipping idols, and he was herding his sheep and whatever he had. But one day, the word of God came to him and called him. You know, like here it says, in the beginning was the word, and the word is light. When it went to shine forth, it shined into Abraham's life, and he did not remain in that land. He did not remain in that state he was in, because God revealed himself to him. Right. And when God revealed himself to Abraham, the qualities of God or the power of God was put or was shown to Abraham in a way that was so personal that he could not disobey. You know, like Paul says, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. It was such a reality to Abraham that when he was called, he obeyed. And Abraham, when he was called, God now started to talk with him and show him his word. Now let's just read the book of Genesis, chapter 15. Verse 5. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. Now here God is talking to Abraham. He's revealing to him, or he's showing forth to Abraham his word. And God says, now come, look at the stars. If you can count them, so shall you be able to count your seed. And here the Bible says, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed to him for righteousness. So when Abraham believed, God said, now you are righteous. So that means Abraham now, he has got a certain standard we don't hear of before. This standard of justification and righteousness, which God imputes on him, that you are righteous. And then God keeps on talking and revealing himself to Abraham. Now, when God said to Abraham, now you are righteous. Remember, in the Gospel of St. John, it says, in the beginning was this word, and then this word created all things. But according to Genesis, it says, then God said, let there be. God said, let there be. Now, that means this word, which is the creative power of God, when it spoke to Abraham, it was like he was speaking in Genesis 1. There was nothing, but in him, he knew there was going to be the sun, the moon, and everything. So he spoke out of the power of the unfailing existing word, which was him. You know, he could not doubt himself. He is the origin of all things. All things evolve around this word. So when he spoke with all the confidence and all everything that he was. You know, like the Bible says, when God spoke to Abraham, he swore by himself. He could not swear by anyone greater, because in himself, he is the end of everything. You know. So, he spoke to Abraham like he spoke in Genesis. And Abraham, like it said in John chapter 1, when the light shined on the man, darkness comprehended it not. When God spoke to Abraham, darkness could no longer hold Abraham. Because the word of life, which was light, shined into him to produce the purpose of the message that God spoke to him. And then he believed God. And then God said, you are righteous. And now we see that in Habakkuk, the prophet Habakkuk, we just want to read chapter 2 of the book of Habakkuk, verse 4. Behold, his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. Now, if God proclaimed to Abraham that you are righteous, here the Bible says, the just shall live by faith.
So now, that means Abraham, when the word spoke to him, remember he was out there worshipping idols. In a way, he was dead, living in sin, not knowing God, without hope, worshipping the idols of the Chaldeans. But God spoke to him. And then when God spoke to him, he believed. And when he believed, the Bible here says, the just shall live by faith. So, there is no way to live by faith until justification has been applied on the individual. So it starts by justification. So Abraham here is justified. Abraham here is called, you are righteous. So now he has been given now the ability to live by faith. Now what is this faith that Abraham lived by? So much that God says, I am the God of Abraham. It says in Hebrews chapter 11, let's just read that, I think. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 and 2. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, faith is not a myth, but is the reality of the expression of the Word of God. And faith is the tangible evidence and substance of things hoped for and evidence of things not seen. Now, here the Bible says, the just shall live by faith. And Abraham is given the ability to live by faith when God proclaimed to him that you are righteous. As Paul says in the book of Romans, he says the righteous shall live by faith. Now, so here Abraham is justified and he believes God's word. And then only then is he given the ability to live by faith. Because you can hear the word, like he said, you cannot have faith until you hear the word. And how can you hear the word unless somebody, God sends the preacher? Can you see? That's why it's written, blessed are the feet of those who bring good tidings. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. Not just the verbatim, not just to hear the word, or the rhema, or the noise or the sound or the vocabulary. That is not what Abraham heard. Abraham heard from God. Now, because God was speaking to him from what he was, from the fountains of life that was in God. Because when God does or says anything, he doesn't borrow from somewhere. It's out of himself. That's why he could swear by himself. Now, Abraham then believed God, and then he was said he was righteous. And here it says, the righteous or the just shall live by faith. Now, this faith now is not just something that emanates from, you see, you hear that there is God, and then you say, okay, I believe in God. You know, all the denominations and all the cults and everything that's on earth, they believe in God. But is that the faith that Jesus is expecting when he comes? That means they are hearing from somewhere. They are not hearing from this word. You know, from the great fountains of the living God. So, here he says now, faith is the evidence of things hoped for. And the substance of things not seen. Now, that means that was what was in Abraham.
Now, God, he had to create that faith, or he had to give to Abraham that faith for the purpose of what he had called him to. He did not just call Abraham to follow him blindly without the understanding of why he was following God. God did not just speak out of nothingness. You remember when Abraham went to deliver his brother Lot, it says there he met Melchizedek, and Melchizedek blessed Abraham. He said, "The God of heaven, the possessor of heaven and earth, bless Abraham." Now this God, he's a possessor. He blesses out of his possession. And he met Abraham after he had conquered the kings, and he was possessing something with himself. Because after he met Melchizedek, he gave him a tenth of all the spoils. Can you see? So, when this great possessor came to Abraham, you know, he did not come to a man who was void of faith and void of anything, just an empty vessel. God does not deal with empty vessels. Remember, God is the God of the living, not of the dead. So Abraham, from his possession, from what he had, what did Abraham have? He had faith. Because the just shall live by faith. And Abraham had faith in the word of God. And God said, "You are righteous." So when Abraham met Melchizedek and gave him tithes, he was not just doing a routine work of just saying, "Okay, now I've met Melchizedek, now I'm just going to give him tithes." He did it by faith. He could see the future role of Melchizedek in the redemption of the human race. And he could see that God had called him to be a part of this program of the coming of the Messiah to redeem the world. Can you see? Because his faith could see that. And when he gave the tenth, it was not just an act of goodwill that had made Melchizedek, "Now I'm going to give this tenth." No, it was by faith. He could see the role of Melchizedek when he would come as Christ to redeem. And to show you that it was an act of faith, when he gave the tithe, it says Levi was in his loins, and it was also credited to Levi that he had given tithe. Why? Because of the future role that Levi would play as the shadow of the priesthood of Melchizedek, who was to come. Can you see? So here, Levi, even before he's born, he's already giving tithes to the priest, showing forth the purpose of God in this Levi. Now, if you again look at Levi, when Jacob was on his way back to Bethel, when they came to Shechem, you know, when Diana was defiled by that young man of Shechem, and then the sons of Jacob said, "They've defiled our sister. They've got to pay for it." And then they tricked them into accepting circumcision, and then they killed all the men. And who did the killing? It was Levi. Now, how could God choose Levi to be a priest when he killed those people? He could have chosen somebody who was at least, you know, soft heart, who felt for the people. But it just shows Levi did not want to play around with sin in the camp. You do wrong, you have got to be out. You just can't intermingle. You just come. You just can't come. You know, Shechem said, okay, if that's the case, I can come to join your church. I can be baptized. I can be circumcised like you are. I can take your faith. I can worship your God. I can do everything and be one of you as long as I marry Diana. But Levi was supposed to be the priest of Israel. He could not stand that. He killed them all. And that was the spirit of his priesthood as he was going to be the shadow of the real one. Because the real one was going to do away with sin. No compromise. Amen. Now, so here Abraham, he does an act of faith. Now, why was it attributed to his unborn son? It was because of his faith. Not in just seeing the things he was seeing on that day, but he could see beyond just a man there called Melchizedek. He could see beyond, because he says faith is the evidence of things not seen. And Paul says in 2 Corinthians, I think chapter 5, verse 7, he says we don't walk by sight, we walk by faith. So whatever Abraham was doing to God, he was doing it as an act of faith. Now, faith, since it is not a myth, it's something that is already, you know, faith is the substance of things hoped for. That means the things you are hoping for, you already have the substance. You know, it's a closed case. You have it already. Because that's how God implanted faith in Abraham. When he talked with Abraham, he said, come out, I will show you, I want to tell you how your children are going to be. He says, you come out. And he showed him the stars. He says, now look to the stars, count them if you can. God showed him something tangible. He showed him something of his creative power. He showed him something that came from him and no one else as the evidence that he was going to have children. That's what he says in Isaiah chapter 45. The book of Isaiah chapter 35. Chapter 45. Verse 18. For thus says the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it. He had established it and created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else. I have not spoken in secret, in a dark place of the earth. I said not unto the seed of Jacob, seek ye me in vain. I the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. Assemble yourselves and come. Draw near together, ye that are escaped of the nations. They have no knowledge that set up the wood of their graven image and pray unto a God that cannot save. Now, he says, when I spoke to Jacob, I did not speak in vain. When he made promises to Jacob, he did not speak out of nothingness. You know, he is God. He spoke out of his existence. He spoke out of the power of his life. That's why John says, that which was in the beginning, we actually saw it and handled it. It is the word of God. Now, when he spoke to Abraham, he did not speak in vain. He showed him the stars. And when Abraham looked at the stars, they were telling even the story of redemption. The stars were a vindication of what God had already done. Because God showed him, these stars, so are your sons going to be. That means here is something God has already done. It's there, it's evident that God has done this. And then he says, I'll give you children like this. Now, if he could do it in the first time, he can do it the second time. Can you see? So, when the word was revealed to Abraham, it was revealed without any shadow of doubt. But it was backed by the creative power and evidence of the things that God had actually created and were there seen. And Abraham had faith in that. Can you see that? Now, when Abraham had faith now, he now could live not by suppositions, not just by thinking, how shall I do this or how shall I walk? But the word of God now had access to Abraham. Because when he lives by faith, he has got to have the word of God to feed his faith. Now, Abraham is no longer a dead man now. He is alive because now he is righteous and he has heard the word of God. Now, then the Bible says, when Abraham had this faith, God told him there and then that you are righteous. Can you see? That means he got the seal of God that you are righteous. But now Abraham had now to live the life to show forth that he was righteous. That's why in the book of Romans it said, Abraham believed God and it was imputed to him for righteousness. And when he believed in this God, he wavered not from faith because of the dying of his body, neither the dying of Sarah's womb. Why did Abraham not waver? Because he had the word of life in him. He had faith. But it was not just for Abraham to say, I have faith. Because the faith of Abraham had to bring forth the life of that faith. For instance, when he gave tithes to Melchizedek, to show that it was really a revelation that came from God, and he did it by faith, it was imputed even upon his son who was not even yet born. Right. Can you see? And then the laborers were ordered to get tithes from their brothers. And here the Bible says, Levi did it. That's why even the Bible says, the scripture preached to Abraham about our justification. Can you see? Yeah. Why? Because if Abraham had faith, because the faith of Abraham was not just of simple obedience. Like, you know, it was said here, Abraham, God told him, look at the stars, that's how your sons are going to be. And then the Bible says, he believed God, and then it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now, do you think, when God says, now Abraham, you are righteous because you have believed my word, you know, it's like the same God can come to you tonight and say, you know what? I'm going to bless you and you're going to buy a new car. And then you believe. I believe, Lord, you are going to give me the new car. And then in 2 months' time, you buy the new car. Can God come down and say, you are righteous? But you have had faith. God tells you, you believe it, and you get the car. Is that the righteousness which is talked about here? Can you see? Now, this faith that Abraham had was not just a simple thing of just following God, coupled with the benefits that goes by worshipping God. But it was a definite revelation. He could see the plan and the purpose of God when God spoke to him. He could see the revelation. That's why God could show him the stars. Look at the stars. So shall your sons be. Why did God have to take him out to show him the stars? That he might see the perfect, completed work of God, which is already done. The stars are there already. And Abraham, when he looked at the complete work of God, his faith was now not in himself or in the things that he was to do that day, but his faith was in the completed purpose of God for his calling. He could see way ahead. That's why when now the toll of time was coming on his body, he was getting older and older and older, he was not deterred, because already he had seen the real thing. He had seen the purpose of God. He had faith, because actually Abraham knew, he had the revelation why God called him. He knew it was not just for me to worship God and just be one of those people who worship God. He knew the purpose of God. You remember God came one day and said, I will not hide what I am going to do to Abraham, since he is going to rule his house in righteousness. God could already see how Abraham could do things. He had so much confidence in Abraham, until he could take Abraham and put him on the arena and then say, now Abraham, play out. Do what I've already seen in you. And Abraham was doing what he had already seen in God. And he had that revelation of the purpose of God in his life. And I believe that's why when he was getting old, you know, he still had that faith. He could still go on. He could not be deterred, because he had that living power of the word of God which was in him. But remember, God had already said to him, you are righteous. And when he believed in a God who had already done it, because he had already been shown the stars. The work has been done. But now God is just using me to bring out what he has planned. And I believe God is going to do it through me. So Abraham could not look at the weakness of his body or anything that would come in the way. He had faith in that God, in the purpose of God calling him. I believe that's why even God said to him, you are righteous. In chapter 15 of Genesis, in the book of James, chapter 2, if we can read verse 21. Says, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar, seeing that thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect, and the scripture was fulfilled which said, Abraham believed God and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. According to the account of Genesis, it says Abraham believed God and it was imputed to him for righteousness. Paul tells us the same. It's not by works, but it is by grace. And God told Abraham, I'm going to give you children, and Abraham believed God and God said, you are righteous. But here James says, the works of Abraham justified his faith. But how did it come about? Now, is James putting now works instead of faith? Now, that's not it. You know, when God speaks His word, it may not happen in 10 seconds or in 20 seconds or in 2 days or in 2 months. But God has spoken.
Right.
Can you see? Like He said in Genesis, let the earth bring forth. Sure. The Bible says there, and the earth brought forth, and God said it was good. You know, God is so confident and so sure of His word, until He can seal His word before anything has happened. You know, you can't block God. You were justified, made blameless in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Can you see? Before you were born, God had confidence in you. He knew you would come. So when God speaks His word, so He speaks His word there, and He can tell what's going to happen in a million years to come on that day. Can you see? Like He said, I've made you a father of many nations. He didn't say, I'm going to make you. And it took 25 years for Abraham to have a son. It took another 60 years. 20 years. And then it was 25 years, huh? Then Isaac was born. And then another 40 years for Esau and Jacob to be born. Another 60 years for Jacob to marry. Can you see? It took a long time. But as far as God is concerned, He says, I've made you a father of nations. And that's what He had made Abraham. Can you see? Now Abraham now had to live by the power of this revelation of what God has already done and finished in himself. And His word. That's why James says now, when Abraham went and offered his son on the altar, the scripture now was fulfilled. Can you see? God can speak a scripture. I've made you a father of many nations. Can you see? And then tonight we can say now, the scripture is fulfilled. Because here we are, many nations. We attribute our parenthood to Abraham. But on that day God said, I have done it. Can you see? So that's the word of God. That's why He said to Abraham, look where He stands. He was trying to show him that with Him, when He speaks His word, it's finished and it's sealed. But now it's up to Abraham now to prove that he believes the word of God. Can you see? That's why we are here. We are here to manifest the faith which was revealed to us. God sent a message, is that right? When God sent the message, now we are here revealing and showing forth what God sent the message for, to bring us out of denominationalism. That's why we came out. To show forth that the message is the truth. It said we would come out, we have come out. Can you see? Now, so Abraham could see by faith. When he was told, now take this your son and offer him. If you read, it says, God told Abraham, He said, because you have obeyed my word, now I'm going to make your seed the possessor of the gate of his enemy. What obedience! The Bible says, Christ, though He was the Son of God, He suffered. And when He was there, in all His sufferings, He never tried to fight for Himself or fight back. But He submitted to Him who could deliver Him from the power of death, with crying, supplications, and tears. And when He was made perfect, can you see? How could Christ be made perfect yet He was born perfect? He had no sin. He was the Word of God. But when he came here on earth, he had to live those 3.5 years and prove to the world that he was truly the Son of God. He had a life to live. He had a character to show. Can you see that? Now Christ, you know, he looked at the purpose of his coming. He knew why he had come. That's why he said to Pilate, if I were of this world, I would have called my subjects to fight for me. When Peter tried to fight for him, he says, I could have called a legion of angels to fight for me. But it's not so. I'm here for a purpose. I must die for the world, that they may be redeemed from their sin. So Christ was not just living a life of day to day obeying God and doing things that were good. No, he was living for that purpose of Calvary. He had that clear revelation of why he was here. So had Abraham. When he took Isaac to the altar, he told the young man, he says, now you stay here, I'll go with the boy, we are going to worship and we'll come back. Yet he knew he was going to kill him there. He knew if he would kill him, he would rise up again. Because out of him would come children like the stars. He could see the resurrection of Christ there. He could see the purpose of God there. That's why God was so pleased with him. And then James says he was called the friend of God. Can you see? He was elevated up. And then the scripture was fulfilled. Can you see? Yes, it was spoken, but here now it's fulfilled. It's now a public show. It can be seen now that Abraham has faith. It's not just the faith of obeying. You know, like I said the other time, when your manager tells you to go and buy stationery, you rush there, you buy stationery, you come back just in time, obeying every order and things at your workplace. That's not how Abraham obeyed God. He obeyed the purpose and the reason and the goal of God's word upon his life. That's why when Abraham, at that day, God said, Abraham is going to rule his house in righteousness. So I'm going to reveal to him what I'm going to do. God had that confidence in Abraham. So Abraham had faith. Now, that was the type of faith that could make Abraham be alive. Because God is not a God of speculation. God is not a God of visionary things. God is not a God of myth. God is a God of reality. So, the Bible says, those who had faith, they pleased God. Who are these who had faith? In the Old Testament, it was coming to the temple, killing the animals and putting them on the altar, and that was that. Next time they come back again and do it. It was just a routine. But there were those who had faith, who could see it's not this animal, but God is going to bring the Messiah on earth. This is only a representative of the Messiah. And when God looked at that, he said, this is their faith. Like David, he said, I was happy when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. But when he's in the house of the Lord, he's crying again, oh Lord, I want to be in your house. I want to be in your sanctuary. He could see this is only a temporal thing. There's the real thing. Can you see? God told them, you are going to live, if you live according to my law, you are going to fill your days. You are going to die when you are old and you spend your time on earth. Now those people who lived good, some they just looked forward to living long on earth. But if you read the record of those who had faith in the book of Hebrews, it says they desired a better resurrection. Can you see? They had that revelation that, you know, this life and this way we are living, it's not just the end. There's something that is beyond the curtain. They could see it. Why? Because they were alive. They had come in contact with that God who is alive. That's why he says, I'm the God of Abraham. He's not the God of the dead, but of the living. How do you live? You live by faith. And faith is the ability for you to see the purpose of God. Can you see? I don't care, one day you can be sick. One day you can be out of your job. One day you can be in this problem or that problem. Yes, those things, they all come. But you know, faith will show you, faith will give you the confidence. Faith will show you the purpose and the reality of God in all these things. Amen. Can you see? You are not just, you know, led by happenings of the day. No. Can you see? We have something greater than just the things of today. Can you see? That's why Paul says, your husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved his church. Can you see? You know, it's not just marriage on this earth just for living together, worshiping for one another, and things like that. But you know, it's just a foreshadow of the real marriage which is coming. That's why Paul says we should put respect into it. Can you see? We should honor it. Why? Because it shows forth something greater than everyday things or everyday or the world, the way of doing it. Now, so, that's why God says, I am the God of Abraham. And I can see on that day when he offered Isaac, that was the masterpiece of the faith of Abraham, and the scripture was fulfilled that he had believed God. Can you see? The seal was put on him. Like Paul says, after you receive the word of truth, you receive the seal of the Holy Ghost after you believed. Can you see? But when you believed, the Bible says, believe and live. Sure, the day you believed, the wheels of life were starting to turn in your life. But there was a life to be lived. There was a way to be walked. Until God would confirm and fulfill the scripture in your life. Now Paul says, we were all dead in trespasses. But before we were dead in trespasses, in chapter 1 of Ephesians, it says, we were blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's the desire of God that he had for us. Like he could tell Abraham, these stars are the evidence. I created these stars from eons and eons of time to prove to you, to show you that I've got a purpose with you. Your children shall be like these stars. So was it with you. Before the world began, God had a purpose for you. He had a desire to be worshipped. He could not be God. Like he says here, I am the God of Abraham. But without Abraham, then God is not God. There was something that was in Abraham that brought together the qualities of God being God. The life he lived. How he could see the word of God. How God was so pleased with him that he could see the purpose of the word. You know, if there's a thing that hurts God, is for people not to see when he shows them the word and they don't see the purpose. Can you see? You know, when you go through trials, you don't see the purpose. You start complaining about this one, about that one, condemning that one and that one and that one. That's nature. That's what we do. But don't you believe that our lives are in the hands of God? There's a purpose in everything. Be it good or bad. My Bible tells me all things work together for good. All things, not some things. All things. Even if I get sick, it works together for good. Because God is a healer. then how can he be a healer if I don't get sick and he heals me? Can you see? So, he's the God of Abraham. That means he's a God of reality. He's a God of the living. He's a God of Abraham who could see the purpose of God, why God had called him. You know, because Abraham went through these difficult times. His body dying, his son's body dying. But with Abraham, you know, he could just see the purpose of God. He could not just let down the bars. There was something in him, he could see the end. Although he went through all these problems. That's why, against hope, he believed in hope. Can you see? Until the showdown, when he gave his son, and then the scripture was fulfilled. Amen. Now God bless you before the foundation of the world, that you should be holy and blameless before him. Can you see? But what happened? The devil came in. You were born in sin. And the Bible tells us that you were dead in sin. You were walking after the manner of this world, after the way of the children of disobedience. That's how we were walking, all of us. But God, who is rich in mercy, quickened you together with Christ Jesus. By grace are you saved. Can you see? So, when Christ, the Word, because he says in the beginning was the Word, and that Word had life, and that life had light. So, when it shined into this grave where I was dead, it could not associate with death. Death just ran away, and I was raised. Can you see? What for? To now be able to live. And Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. For in it, the glory of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Now when I was raised from the dead, from the mark of sin, from all the confusion of denominationalism, that's when and only when I could hear now from God. Because God could not deal with me in my denominational dead set. He had to bring the Word that had to resurrect me from the life of sin. And when I believed, when you believe, then like Abraham, when you believe, then God said, you are righteous. For if you read in the book of Romans chapter 4, it says, it was not only written for Abraham, but for us also who believe in the justification that comes through Jesus Christ. Amen. That we should also be justified by faith. So when you are justified by faith, you are given the ability now to live the life of God. And then Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Now it takes the gospel, the word of God, to feed your faith now, to feed you, that you may go from faith to faith. As you are being raised, God has already said you are righteous, but there's a life to be lived. Can you see? Now God raises you from faith to faith. Because now you are alive. Now when you are alive, the book of Colossians says, now you should have fruits in every good work. So fruit comes from life. So whatever you are doing now is not just by order of commandment. It is by revelation of the life of the Word that is in you now. Can you see? Why do you love the coming of Christ? It's because of that Word of Christ which is in you, yielding for the coming of Christ. It is the fruit of the deposit which was put in you that is yielding for the fulfillment of that redemption. Because when you were given the Holy Ghost, it was only a down payment. And then in that you groan, desiring the complete redemption of the body that you may stand before him perfected. Why? Because now you are alive. You are not just a Christian nominally. You are a believer of the word. And now you eat on the word. You feed on the word. You know, you grow by the word from faith to faith. You know, when we first came to the word, we did not know what we know now. You know, we did not have the strength that we have now. But God just put us through some experiences. He just, by giving us the word, we are growing from faith to faith. Amen. Like he did with Abraham. You know, he just talked with him. From this point, he would come again, talk with him. Come again, talk with him. Come again, talk with him. That was lifting Abraham into the heights of seeing the eternal word of God. So now, God is God of the living. He's not God of the dead. God cannot deal with you until you come to that resurrection by the word. Because he's the God of Abraham. And he's the God who only accepts you on the basis of your faith in the word of God and nothing else. That's why Jesus said to Peter, he says, now Satan has asked for you that he may sieve you like wheat, but I've prayed for you that your faith may not fail. If there's a dangerous thing in the life of a Christian, is for his faith to fail. Because the just shall live by faith. Now, if your faith fails, you are no longer alive. And remember, God is the God of the living. He is the God of Abraham. So we live by faith. Amen. Looking up to God, to the purpose of God, mind you. You know, we are here doing all these things, waiting for that day. Now, that's why we do what we do in total honesty. When we sing with an honest heart. When we pray from an honest heart. When we come here to assemble, we assemble with an honest heart. Because we are desiring the perfect thing to come. That's why God loved Abraham. That's why God had respect for Abraham. He was always doing things in the right way, longing for the right thing to come. And then the Bible says, all those who are of Abraham, who are the seed of Abraham, are those of faith, and they will be blessed together with Abraham. So God is the God of Abraham, as he is blessing Abraham. You know, that means you live or you relive the life of Abraham. God will just take you down the corridors of time and just lead you by his word to walk the walk of Abraham, where you can call God, God. And Paul says in the book of Hebrews, he says, faint not in doing good. That's the problem. The problem is in continuity. Can you see? To continue in the faith. To continue in righteousness. To continue in good works. That's where the problem is. That's why Abraham, God had to give him those 25 years. To prove him that he had seen the right thing. And Abraham failed not, but he continued. So anything that comes from life will continue. Anything that doesn't come from your life is a foreign body. It will do things for a time and then it will go. Can you see? It cannot stay. It's a foreign body. Can you see? So, our faith is a sign that we are alive. And we have the life and the power of Christ in us. So God is the God of Abraham. He is the God of the living. We worship God by the life we live. It's not just a profession. It's not just because I came to the Lord 10 years ago. It's not because just I'm a preacher. It's not just because I'm this and that. It's because I'm living on a day-to-day basis on the Word of God. For the just shall live by faith. And God is not the God of the dead. As soon as you die, then he has got to leave you. That's how he left all these church ages, you know. When Luther's people could not continue in life, they died in denominationalism, God packed them there and continued with Wesley. And when the Wesleyans could not see the light, they were packed there, God continued in Pentecost. When the Pentecost failed to see the word, God packed them and continued in the message. When the message people failed to see the purpose of the message, he packed them and is continuing with the life of the word. Can you see? God is the God of the living. We don't live on any historical account of what God did. Can you see? We don't live on a historical account of what even Abraham did. But you know, God is just showing us what Abraham was to God. And then we can take our life and see how we match the life of Abraham. And see the livelihood or the living word of God which is in us. God cannot deal with us when we are dead. That's one thing for sure. He is the God of Abraham. Abraham had to continue with life. Even if his body was trying to die, still he held on to life. Can you see? He never gave up. He continued holding on against all odds until the scripture was fulfilled. And he was made the friend of God. So God is the God of Abraham. He is the God of the living. And you know what? At the end of his life, or the masterpiece of Abraham's Christian life is when he offered on the altar the product of his faith. Isaac was the evidence that he had faith. Can you see? And he brought that as the sacrifice. That this is my sacrifice. Something that proves I had faith in God. For 25 good years, I waited for this to be fulfilled. Now I'm giving back to God what God has done through my faith for 25 years. And God is the God of the living. That's why we have to bring the fruit of our faith to God. That's the maximum. That's how we can worship God now. You know, when we can bring to God the product of our faith, not something that our church has formulated. Can you see? But what God has done in your life, what God has done with you, the evidence of the life of God in you. Can you see? You know, that's why Paul told Timothy, you know, don't waste time with all these babblings and arguments and things like that. These things, they don't profit. Right. Can you see? All we need is to examine ourselves in the light of the word. How much that word is in me. Mm-hmm. How much is it reflecting in this evil world? How much is it keeping me to be true to that day? Can you see? You should be more worried about the effects of the word in your life than the effects of all these other things that we meet as we are going along in this world. So God is the God of the living. And at the end, he accepted the living sacrifice as the living evidence that Abraham had a living faith. So he's the God of the living.
He accepts living fruits, living fruits of good works from us. As we are looking forward, you know, we are not looking forward to something that is going to be of a time. We are looking forward to eternity.
Right.
You see, when we go into the rapture, you know, we will be just winding up all time and fall into eternity. So we are looking for something that is not of time again. We are looking for something that is eternal. So how should our faith be? It should not be bumpy, you know, stop here, stop there, you know, be disturbed there, turn there, turn there. It must be vibrant with life. Because we are expecting the culmination of our faith, or the sum total of our faith, the goal of our faith, the purpose of our faith. And I just want to thank God that God is the God of the living. He is the God of Abraham. And if God gives me grace to be identified with Abraham, then I'll be glad that if I am by faith the son of Abraham, then I know I'm assured that I'm worshipping and I'm living a living life. May God bless you.
Praise the Lord. Can you say amen to that? I believe you can. We're putting all the messages of our brother James on the website. Well, those who want to will not hear, will not listen to it, and there are others overseas, so they are downloading the messages and put them on. And I said this before, and we have said this many times here, it's a pathetic that we see many people in this end time message. They don't know what the message is all about. And since back in the 70s when the Lord gave me this message, I have seen the thing that is going on here in this island and all around the world, and seeing that spirit of Brahmanism just eating up the life of the believers. And it's true that Brother James said there are people who hear the truth, but either they don't recognize it, don't discern it, not knowing the truth, or they're knowing it and they just do not act upon it. And that's why when we have this message, we need to understand the purpose of this message. And we need to know the plan and the purpose of God for our days, not the days of Brother Abraham in the 50s or the 60s. This is no longer the 50 and the 60. Brother Abraham is not around. He's gone. He's dead. He's passed into the other dimension. And truly the word says that God is God of the living and not of the dead. You know? And why did I enjoy this message? Because it's in simplicity. I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. Because it's our this man, not our grandfather, but our father, the father of our faith, Abraham. That's why we always talk about the faith of Abraham. And that's why I said, Mina, do you recognize that faith? What Abraham saw, what Abraham has seen. And we have recognized it, we have seen it. You know, tonight this message, I believe, enhances it or add more to it to get us, you know, better footing and, you know, add more to our journey. And I can say this, that I have confidence in the thing that God had done through the ministry in his end time. I believe in the fivefold ministry. I always believed that the fivefold ministry is not taking the quotes of Brother Abraham and try to expound what Brother Abraham said. Brother Abraham expound the word of God, and all men likewise who are called of God expound the same, the word of God, not somebody else's word. Take what the Lord has given us, or hear what the preacher would preach, and having a revelation, preach it, share it, teach it, not just being a parrot and parrot all the way. Amen.